Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome.
This is going to be a great show because I'm going to bring up some great points that I don't think people are thinking about right now.
I thought of all of them, and I thought most of your points were just average, Joe. I've got to be honest.
No, but seriously, I'm going to talk hot boxing with Mike Tyson. I'm gonna. Oh my God, this is gonna be a great point that I'm gonna bring up. Seriously.
Awesome. All right. Hey. So let me see here. So I got everything going. I'll intro it, and then I'll go into the purse bid thing. Who bid what? And then tell them the Triller won to break down the salaries, and then what Bob Arum had to say after that. And then we'll go into the questions. You know, was it a good move? Blah blah blah. And then I'll kick it over to you. Okay.
And then we can actually read what he said too. And then he deleted that tweet.
What Bob Arum tweeted?
No, what Teofimo Lopez tweeted. Didn't I send that to you?
Yeah, you did. You did. Yeah, I saw that. That was crazy.
He posted that and deleted it real quick.
That was a good move for him to take that off of there. All right, you ready?
Yep.
Broadcasting from Cincinnati,
you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news from the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Morda.
Welcome to a very special Friday edition of Ringside Reporter. My name is Eric Lorta, and I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib, and we have a great show for you today. And listen, man, you know that we don't do Friday shows normally. So, Beeb, there's got to be some big news. Beeb, I would classify this as big news, no?
This is huge news.
Huge. Huge. Capital huge. Capital H. All right. Triller wins the purse bid to promote Teofimo Lopez's next fight. They beat out Top Rank in Matchroom. Teofimo Lopez and George Cambosos went to purse bid, and the bids were as follows. This happened yesterday. Bids were as follows. Top Rank bid $2.3 million for the fight. I think that's pretty reasonable. Matchroom bid $3.5 million. I think that's fairly reasonable also. Triller bid $6 million. $6 million for the Lopez-Cambosos fight. Listen, it ain't my money, all right? That's all I can say here. Triller clearly won the bid to promote Lopez's next fight. They stated that the fight will be in May and will be on pay-per-view. However, it's unclear if they're going to be the main event of the co-main. Now, Ryan Kavanaugh of Triller, stated on social media that it would be a co-main paired with, like, a celebrity influencer type of main event, you know, like a Logan Paul or – you know, like a Mike Tyson, something like that, you know. However, in another interview, Kavanaugh stated that it would be the main event. So who knows? Top Rank, Beeb, you tell me, do you think this is like, okay, so Top Rank is going to receive 20% of Teofimo's purse. Apparently that's the norm. That's what they do. And I think, if I'm mistaken, Beeb, have you heard Matchroom only takes 10, or am I mistaken on that?
Most promoters only take 10%.
20% is a lot, man. So let me give you the breakdown here. So it goes as follows. So they bid $6 million, a little over $6 million for the fight. Okay, Triller did. So it breaks down like this: Teofimo Lopez will get $3.9 million for the fight. George Cambosos will get $2.1 million. That's got to be his highest payday, right? For Cambosos, I mean, that's got to be his highest payday. All right. Top Rank will then take the $3.9 million. Top Rank will take $780,000 of that. That comes out of Teofimo's purse. So Teofimo will probably get about 3.1 when it's all said and done, and then of course trainers' fees, everything like that. But that's how it breaks down. Now the IBF purse was divided. It's the champion 65 and the challenger 35. So I tell you, the one who really made out here, both fighters really made out here, but George Cambosos, I gotta imagine this is a career high payday for him. I would think. After the fact, Bob Arum spoke with Boxing Scene and had the following to say. He said, it's terrific and wonderful that Triller put a bid in the way they did. I hope it works out for them because we made a lot of money in 5 minutes. Almost $800,000 is pretty good money. That's really good money. He said Lopez and Cambosa is not a premier attraction. He says that Kavanaugh is absolutely great for boxing. He's not doing anything bad for the sport. He's done numbers in the past with Tyson versus Jones that nobody else has done in boxing on pay-per-view. He's not a competitor, though. If he contacted me and said we'd give it close to $1 million to have the Teofimo fight, don't you think I would have agreed? Triller is not the competition to ESPN. He said they are totally different businesses. ESPN could care less that Teofimo is on Triller, so good luck to them. This is Bob's word. Now, what I found interesting about this, Arum said something very interesting there. He said that ESPN doesn't care about that, doesn't care that Teofimo is fighting on Triller. No? This is their fighter. It's Bob's fighter. This is this fight should be on ESPN. End the sentence. Bottom line is ESPN can't be happy that one of their marquee fighters is fighting on another network. That's a big deal. Arum was apparently what he was mad at was Matchroom for even putting a bid in. Arum basically said that Matchroom has no ties to Lopez and they should not have put in a bid. You know, listen, I mean, when it goes to purse bid, anybody can bid on it. I could go bid. Anybody can go bid on it.
What's the difference between Matchroom and Triller? So because Bob doesn't see Triller as a threat and he sees Eddie as a threat.
Yes.
I mean, they're already going to be working together with Fury versus Joshua, and they're going to make a boatload of money together on that one. I don't know why Bob
maybe
is making a big deal about this.
Maybe because you brought up an interesting point because the two have to work together because he is furious right now at Eddie Hearn because he said Matchroom doesn't have any ties to the fight. They don't have any promotional ties to Cambosos. They don't have any ties to Teofimo. So they should have just stayed out of it. I disagree.
Disagree because it doesn't.
We all knew they were going to bid on it.
Well, here's the hypocrisy. Bob said this out of his own mouth. He goes, if he can find someone who's going to pay him more money than me, then all the power to him. He never had stipulations on that. Never said, I don't want him to go. I don't want this person to bid. And again, it's fair game. Once you put it to purse bid, you know this, as you said, anyone can bid on it. So it's ridiculous that Bob would be mad about something like this. It's just so
right.
Petty.
It's part of the business. And, you know, going back to the Tyson Fury thing, Bob is so irritated by this whole thing. He stated in an interview with Boxing Scene, one of the ones I was reading about, Eddie Hearn had actually said this, that they said, you know, we're gonna find a way to get back at this. You know, and he says, basically kind of saying, hey, we've done a lot for you. We're working with you on this, but maybe we're not going to work with you on this. And I think they were trying to refer to that Tyson Fury thing as like a thing. Listen, that Tyson Fury fight, that's big money, man. You don't, I mean, you're an idiot. I mean, you're just basically cutting off your nose to spite your face. If you're Top Rank and you want to mess with that fight, you're an idiot.
Well, he's basically saying that we'll outbid you in another purse bids. But again, purse bids are so rare. So how long in the future is there going to be another fight that goes to the purse bids? It's going to be a while. It's not very common.
No.
What was the last purse bids that fight that we've seen? I can't remember if we had one in a while.
And this is the reason they don't have purse bids. This is the reason they don't want it to go to purse bids, because you're going to lose that fight. You have a big chance of losing that fight. You know, I tell you, the thing with Hearn, I mean, I get where Arum's coming from. He doesn't have a dog in the fight. Okay, I get where he's coming from, saying that
matter.
Eddie doesn't have dog in the fight. But yeah, you're right. It doesn't matter, because who wouldn't want Teofimo to fight on the zone? You know what I mean? It makes sense.
Well, here's another thing. You mentioned ESPN, and I think ESPN isn't overly concerned because they're not crazy about the fight either. So they're saying to themselves, if this was a big fight, then obviously they would be upset about it. Like if he decides to fight, Tank Davis, and he tries to fight somewhere else instead of ESPN, then ESPN's going to probably step in and say, what's going on here? So obviously they're going to want to show the big money fights. And Maestro A yesterday was telling me, I guess Dave DeWenis from Leaving in the Ring Network told him that he's hearing that ESPN may jump back out of boxing again, like they did before. So we don't even know how long ESPN's going to stay in the boxing business. So do they really care?
Well, that's true too. And I got to be honest, man. I mean, Top Rank's had some pretty good fights, but by and large, you know, I mean,
we all know that ESPN seems to be more interested in the UFC anyways. They're really heavily vested more so in the UFC than they are
sure.
in boxing.
Absolutely they are. They're 100% more. I mean, I think UFC's paying them quite a bit more, I'm sure. Or they're paying UFC, however the deal's working. I mean, there's a lot of money in that deal, a lot more, significantly more than Top Rank's got in that deal. So I'll tell you what, though. You know what worries me about this whole thing is I know that Top Rank and Teofimo are now at odds. And, Joe, I'm going to have you go over those tweets here in a little bit. But, you know, I worry about Teofimo pricing himself out in the sense that there was somebody willing to pay for it. I get you. However, that being said, you know, he's not going to want, listen, man, he's got a almost a $4 million payday. You're not going to want to step back to a $1.5 million payday. And then he's going to say, listen, I'm not fighting for that. You know, are we looking at a Mikey Garcia situation or an Andre Ward situation? That's what I worry about when it comes to him.
There's going to be retaliation because
yeah.
he's going to be in a fight with a Devin Haney or a Tank Davis or a Ryan Garcia or even the winner of Ramirez and Taylor, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think Bob is going to offer him almost $4 million. Was he getting almost $4 million for this fight, or is it
$3.9 million and minus the $780,000 from Top Rank?
Okay,
20%.
So
just kills me.
Bob will turn around and pay him less for a tougher fight than he's getting
sure.
for this easier 100%
fight. 100%
he will. So there'll be retaliation. Will that mean that he's going to sit out? Well, he's got a wife. He's got a kid. He bought a nice house. He's going to have to think about what's going on. He may try to buy himself out. The interesting thing is that we talked about how this may be like an undercard fight against the people are talking about maybe this may be on the undercard of a Tyson versus Holyfield fight, right? But what I want to bring up, we talked about this a little bit offline, but I didn't really go into it because I wanted to wait till we got live. If you remember, Mike Tyson had Teofimo on the Hot Boxing podcast. He also had Devin Haney on there. He also had Ryan Garcia on there. And when he was talking to these young guys, he was kind of mentoring them. And you know what he said to them? You know what he said to them? He said, hey, you know what? You know, you can work. It's okay that you're working with a promoter now. He goes, but down the road, you may want to be the guy that starts writing the checks. You know what I mean? So he was kind of planting the seed. And then who knows what was being talked about offline. And you know Mike Tyson's working exclusively with Trilla right now because he's having that Legends thing going on.
Yeah.
And he's trying to do this on a continual basis, put on these fights. It's after the Jones fight, he said, we're going to do this again. We're going to put it back on Trilla. Well, Holyfield, Tyson's will probably go right back on Trilla. So maybe he said something. Maybe Tyson said something to Trilla. Maybe I'm not saying that he did, but maybe it could have been an offline conversation. You know, I'm sure Tyson didn't know that Teofimo's next fight was going to go to Perspids, but who knows, you know, if Tyson didn't put a word in here, because he did put a bug in all these kids' ears.
Sure.
He's kind of telling them because
sure.
he remembers when he was coming up and how he feels as though promoters stole from him.
Yeah.
So he was basically saying to Teofimo, he was basically saying to Ryan Garcia, you know, eventually you need to be the man and you don't really, when you become a star, you're not going to need a promoter anymore. So you need to work towards that. So it's kind of ironic that, you know, a social media platform that Tyson works with and has worked with his previous exhibition fight, it's kind of ironic how all of a sudden now Teofimo is going to be fighting on that. And it's also ironic that they had that conversation about, you know, you need to be the man to write the checks and you need to control your career. Don't let the promoter control your career.
Yeah.
You be the boss. So, you know what? I'm just wondering if Tyson had something to do with this. Maybe not directly, but indirectly.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think a lot of people have probably been talking to him and like him and Garcia and everybody else. And, you know, listen, I mean, everybody wants to follow that Floyd Mayweather blueprint because he made a lot of money, you know, and he fought, you know, he didn't fight, I think, I'm going to get crucified for this, but I've always said that Floyd Mayweather didn't fight the best at the time. He always fought him a little bit past the prime. past, you know, or before in Canelo's case, before, you know, he was actually ready and everything like that. I get that. And everybody wants to follow that blueprint. Listen, Teofimo's followed that to a T here because, listen, you're getting $4 million to fight this guy who everybody expects you to wipe the floor with within six rounds. You know?
Yeah.
Did Triller, I mean, I ask you, did Triller make a mistake here?
Absolutely not. Because,
really?
Again, no, because they're going to figure a way to make this event lucrative. They're already talking about, hey, we can put this under a bigger fight, right? So, you know.
What's bigger, though? I mean,
again,
you know.
We all laughed at Tyson. Well, I didn't laugh at it.
Yeah, yeah.
I said Tyson Jones was going to do $1 million.
Yeah, we both said it was going to be the biggest fight of the year. I mean, according to buys and everything like that, yeah, it was the biggest
fight. It overexceeded my expectations. So if Mike Tyson decides that he's going to fight Evander Holyfield, and they throw this on and they make this the co-main, just like when Tyson fought Jones, they had Badu Jack, they did put a legitimate fight on there.
Yeah.
So I think what Triller is going to start doing is having these celebrity type matchups, whatever, and they're going to throw maybe one or two legitimate boxing matches on the card. So they could very well do that with this fight. And I think it would be a home run. And here's the thing. What if Teofimo Lopez works out a deal with these guys where he's getting back end money? Right? What if this isn't just what they're getting, you know, this is just their guarantee. What if they're both getting back end money? And Teofimo Lopez from what I'm told, there was an offline conversation. Him and Kambosos was kind of working together, and they like Teofimo was like saying to him, you know, let this go to purse mint. It's going to help you too, which it most certainly did. So, this was that the fighters working together, and Bob Arum even came out and said, you know, this isn't right. These two guys are in cahoots with each other working against the promoter. Well, again, this was legal. This went to purse bids. It happens. Okay. They followed protocol. All right. So if Teo says this is going to be better for you as well, Kambosos, and tries to bring him on board with this, but again, it wouldn't even have mattered anyways, because once it goes to purse bids, it goes to purse.
That's it.
So I guess maybe, you know, sometimes the other fighter may show resistance, and he may have a say, or Lou DiBello could have stepped in or whatever. I don't know. Maybe. But at the end of the day, this was a win-win for the fighters.
For sure. I mean, listen, man. I mean, for Teofimo to get close to $4 million, 3.9 according to the numbers here, $3.9 million.
And then Triller.
That's a huge win.
And then Triller is only charging $50 for these pay-per-views, which is almost, you know, half than what these other pay-per-views are.
They're going into the $90 range, aren't they? Yeah.
Yeah, they're close to $90 when you add the taxes and stuff in. It's almost $100 sometimes, right?
Right.
So if Triller is only going to charge $50, and there's no taxes and fees on that because it's an app. It's not the cable company, because when you buy something from the cable company, they add in the taxes and fees on top of that, right? So you're going to be buying a pay-per-view for half the price. So,
yeah. Eric Corey says that Beeb's always been a Teofimo hater. I don't know where you're getting that information from, son. I hope he's being sarcastic. D-Style says Triller trying the WrestleMania strategy, and he's 100% right. I mean, he's definitely 100% right. That's really what they're doing here, you know, and I, you know, long-term, will it work? Listen, I don't know. That remains to be seen, but, I don't know. I don't think it was a good move for Triller, because if they're putting this on as a co-main, you just spent $6 million on your co-main, and then what are you going to spend on your main? And then you got to divvy out the pay-per-view prices and everything. That's a big deal. That's a big,
again, sponsors. Sponsors, if Holyfield Tyson could possibly do 2 million pay-per-view buys.
Yeah.
So
if Tyson
million,
Jones did what it did. Yeah.
2 million times,
times 50, man. Jesus.
It's a lot of money, yeah.
That's a lot of money. That's $100 million, bro.
Yeah.
You don't think they could carve out $6 million to give for Teofimo and George?
I don't know. Out of $100 million? Yeah, I don't know.
that's true. And that's without sponsors.
Yeah. Sponsors will pick up a lot of that money, too. Yeah, sponsors are going to pick up a lot of that money, too. So hopefully it works out. I mean, listen, either way, he's guaranteed for, 3.9. George, I'm more impressed with Kambosos that he got 2.1 for this. That's amazing to me. That's great for both of these guys. I don't understand. Like, Bob Arum, though, let it go to purse bid and then gets outbid like this, and he's mad at Matchroom, who didn't even win the bid. I don't know, man. I don't know where he's going, but my biggest fear for this is does anybody know how long Teofimo's contract is? Or how many fights?
I think Bob, from what I understand, says it's 3 years. He's got a long contract.
Yeah, that ain't good, man. There's no way he's buying that out. There's no way he can buy that out.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. How many fights in 3 years? What is that, like a six-fight deal? If it is 3 years, that's got to be like a six-fight deal, no?
And guess what? This fight doesn't count as one of those fights.
Yeah, Maestro just said 3.5 years left. It doesn't? Yeah, that's right, because he's not promoting. It's only them promoting it. But, well, you should, because he's paying them.
Doesn't matter. It's not a top-ranked
promoter. He's paying him 20. So Crawford's paying him 20. So it's got to be 20% across the board, yeah? It's got to be, right? 20%, bro? 20.
I don't know.
I remember an interview with Eddie Hearn. He said Matchroom gets like 10%.
Most promoters take 10%, bro.
20%?
That's what Don King, what Don King used to do?
He used to charge him for everything.
Charge all these fees,
locker room fees, towel fees.
You have to pay my son who works for me, but he's going to be your manager. So I'm going to take the money that you pay my son, and I'm going to give my son a little bit on the side,
appease him.
It's like crazy, bro.
He was such a scumbag.
Oh my god,
such a scumbag. So you think this was a good move? I think it was a good move for Teofimo. No question.
I think it's a phenomenal move for everybody involved, even Bob, because Bob
$780,000 for doing nothing.
Gets $800,000 for doing nothing. I don't understand why he's mad.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't either. So
I don't know.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, Bob should not get mad because this was a mandatory. There's not going to be a situation in the distant future. Well, again, this is an IBF mandatory.
Yeah.
So there's going to be WBC mandatories, but they never really enforced the mandatories. There'll be a WBA mandatory. So, every so often is this what Lopez is going to do anytime there's a mandatory out? Is he going to refuse what Arum offers and have it go to purse bids? Because that's the beauty of it. But again, if he moves up and he has no titles, then he's not going to have that leverage.
No.
So the problem is, he moves up to 140 and he wants the winner of Ramirez versus Taylor. Bob can punish him and say, we're not going to give you that fight. So he'd have to work his way into a mandatory slot at 140 to get a title shot. If Bob decides, I'm not going to allow you to fight the winner of that.
I don't know. I mean, does he do that, though? Think about it. I mean, like, if Teofimo makes money, Bob makes money. It's that simple.
At the end of the day, it's going to have to get worked out. But then Bob's, saying the same thing that he said about Crawford. Oh, if he wants to go, let him go. I don't care. And blah, blah, blah. But again, outside of Tyson Fury, this kid is your star. This is your marquee guy.
He really
guy.
Is. Yeah, this is
He's
the guy.
He's your marquee guy. And how long has Tyson Fury got left? And Tyson Fury can pack up his bags and leave tomorrow. I mean, he's that volatile that who knows? Who knows what the fuck he's going to do, right?
Well, you put out a video the other day, and I think you were, about the Tyson Fury thing and everything like that. I always kind of losing steam on the Joshua fight and everything like that. Listen, man, this guy, while Tyson Fury is a superstar, I love Tyson Fury. You use the correct word, volatile. He is
volatile.
Extremely volatile in these situations. You don't know what kind of headspace that guy is going to wake up in from day to day. You have no idea.
I have no idea what this guy's going to do,
and
man.
While Teofimo may be, acting diva-like behavior right now, you know he wants to fight, and he wants to fight the best, and he wants to earn his money, you know. But
both sides, Teofimo and Top Rank, they're saying, "Oh, this it's not personal; it's just business." But this got personal.
Tell me about the tweet now. Teofimo had it removed because I saw him. He told Mike Coppinger, I think it was Mike Coppinger, in an interview in his car, I guess. He was saying something to the effect of about Todd DeBuff, and he says, "Hey, Todd DeBuff, you know, he's supposed to be he does great for all the fighters and everything. They just lost the biggest fighter in their stable."
Well, yeah. I gotta shout out Heyman's Planet, aka Jason.
Yeah, Jason. Yeah,
Jason Shaw, because he's been sending me all this stuff. And the minute he's been on top of this, the minute it comes out, he's been sending it to me. So I gotta thank him for that.
And he would send it to me. I just blocked him. But go ahead.
Yeah. So this was on Teofimo's Twitter because Mike Coppinger said emergency pod caught up with Teofimo to break down what's next, what Triller's big bid means, and what the future holds for him in Top Rank. And then Teofimo Lopez basically retweeted that, but you know how you can retweet it and then you can add your own comment on top of it. This is what he did. He said, "Todd DeBuff, you won't have me back. Get ready because we're going to war, you prick. How dare you try to cock block my purse bid with DAZN and whoever else? You're done. Thank you, Triller, for letting the world know that I'm up next. Hashtag the takeover. Hashtag thank you for Heyman's Planet once again, because this thing is gone. This thing wasn't up for long. I don't know." Jason got it, and he sent it to me. So,
well, what does he mean? They try to block his bid with DAZN or whatever.
Well, they had conversations with DAZN as well. They were trying to talk to DAZN and have them not. They were like Todd DeBuff was sending like the guy at DAZN emails and stuff. They were going back and forth. And he was trying to talk to him, saying, well, this is our fighter, why would you want to do business with him? He's not your fighter, and this and that, whatever. And here's what it says. Let me see if I can find that too, because Todd DeBuff was being called out here, and he said he's not ashamed of any email he sent or any communication he had with his own. So I'm just trying to see.
Centurion Sun says that Teofimo going to DAZN would be the best yet. I'd rather see him go to PBC. There's more fighters over there, I think.
So this is Mike. This is Mikey Williams from Top Rank. It says, really sucks. It really does to have it go to this way because of the relationship I had with Top Rank. But it's more so the relationship I had with ESPN, Lopez said. But, Todd DeBuff is the man. He knows what he's doing. We got to give kudos to Todd DeBuff for working on his fighters very well. So congratulations, Todd DeBuff. You lost your best fighter from your stable. And I guess there's been back and forth with Todd DeBuff. This guy, McCarthy, who works for DAZN. And he was going back and forth with Todd DeBuff, and Todd DeBuff was kind of questioning whether, why do you want this fight, this and that. And it's kind of weird. So that's what he means by trying to cock block the fight. So Mayer was asked about the email exchange. I received an email from Todd DeBuff regarding Lopez versus Gamboa, and as a courtesy, passed it on to the DAZN CEO Ed McCarthy for his decision making. McCarthy, on his response to DeBuff, wrote, "Thanks for sending this, Todd. Let's discuss, but I think Todd is making a fair point. He's doing us a big favor on the Canelo fight. Let's think hard about this, please." So he goes, the favor Mayer is referring to occurred during the first week of February. McCarthy asked DeBuff if he would consider moving the undisputed 140-pound title fight between Jose Ramirez and Josh Taylor away from May 8th on ESPN, the same date that was supposed to be slotted for Canelo Alvarez versus Billy Joe Saunders on DAZN. So Ramirez was shifted to May 22nd. So I guess that's where it all stems from. So they did them a favor by pushing the date off, whatever. So then they turn around and like try to. I guess they look at it as being stabbed in the back. So that's what I think the animosity is coming from. So they moved that the Josh Taylor fight off of the May 8th date, and they pushed it to May 22nd so they wouldn't counter program Canelo versus Billy Joe Saunders. I don't know which fight would. That would be a tough decision. Which fight would you watch? Maybe I would watch the Ramirez versus Taylor fight and then go back and watch the other fight after.
Which one? The Canelo Saunders?
Yeah, which fight? I mean, because that Ramirez Josh Taylor is a better fight on paper, competitive wise, but it's probably not a more lucrative fight.
No, I mean everybody's going to watch Canelo first.
You would watch Canelo? I don't think I would. I don't know what I would do. I think I would watch.
I would definitely watch a Canelo fight first, man. The Canelo BJ Saunders, I think that's a good fight. I know I thought the last one was going to be a good fight, the Callum Smith fight. Yeah,
I think Canelo destroys fucking Saunders, to be honest with you. I could be wrong. But
I'd like to see. I've never seen Saunders really busted up and destroyed. But listen, man. Listen, I would definitely pick Canelo in the fight. Don't get me wrong. I would definitely pick Canelo. I think it's a good fight, though. I mean, with Saunders' defense and everything, I think it's a good fight.
I think the Taylor-Ramirez fights.
Oh, I think that's a good fight, too. I think so, too. But if we're looking at it so let's take it from a hardcore standpoint. Yeah, that's the fight we'd rather see than Canelo Saunders. But from
a commercial standpoint,
it's a complete wipeout. So you know that's where it's going.
Yeah. So I guess I'm speaking for myself, and I'm not speaking for the majority. I think the majority, you could be right, would be wanting to see Canelo. So.
Yeah, absolutely, man. All right, go ahead.
But there had to be a reason why, DAZN reached out to Top Rank and asked him to push the other fight back. They may have thought it was competition.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So. They may have thought along the same lines as me. I don't know.
Yeah. All right, let's go to the phones here. I think the Maestro, 917. You're on, 917. You're live. What's happening, man?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Hello, Maestro. ¿Qué pasa?
What's up, bro?
Loud and clear.
Hopefully you guys.
Loud and clear, brother.
All right, awesome. Awesome, because I'm on Blog Talk. I got off the video. Joe, you know, they say great minds think alike, and you definitely got a great mind, so that says something about mine too, I guess, because I was thinking the same thing as you as it relates to Tyson and this Triller thing, because, you know, he was on Hot Boxing with Mike Tyson. You could see in that interview that they were like, you know, there was a lot of, positivity.
A lot of business advice, right? A lot of business advice.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of business advice.
Absolutely.
I didn't mean to interrupt you. I didn't mean to interrupt you because I know that's one of my bad qualities, but a lot of business advice. He was given to every. He was Garcia, Haney. He was telling them, you know, basically he was kind of insinuating, don't do what I did. Be your own man.
Yep.
Don't get caught up, right? And these kids are going to take the bull by the horns. It looks. I mean, this was a boss move by Teofimo. This was a boss move. I was in his position, I would not have had the balls. I would not have had the balls to do what he did. I wouldn't.
No, I mean,
go
he
ahead,
took
man.
A gamble on his career,
it.
and it's paying off. Absolutely. And I just do not agree with the line that Arum's been pushing, that somehow the fighters working with each other behind the scenes to increase their value, increase their pay is a bad thing. And this has shown exactly why. Arum's obviously from an old era where clearly promoters take 20% for doing absolutely nothing. You know, Tyson is actually from that era, as you guys talked about earlier with the Don King situation that he had to face throughout his career. I see him as kind of like an elder statesman at this point, kind of passing down knowledge to the younger guys, which is what you also noticed too, Joe. And I think that he had an influence on this. We could be way off, but I definitely see it as a strong possibility.
Is it a coincidence that his pay-per-view was on Trilla and now this fight's on Trilla and then Teofimo was talking to him about business and Tyson was saying, you know, eventually you want to be the guy writing the checks. You don't want someone giving you the check. You know, is it, it's kind of ironic, right? It's got to be more than just coincidental.
Yeah.
Quite honestly, though, he had nothing to do with that. I mean, that was a purse bid thing. And I mean, he had
not at all. Not at all. He had nothing to do with it.
Right.
You mean Tyson had nothing to do with it?
That's what I said.
I'm saying indirectly,
he may have had something to do with it, not directly.
I think he may have been in the ear. Yeah. I think indirectly.
Again, you got to get this guy.
He's really good, you know.
I think this is all my opinion. I'm not saying this is factual. No, I'm just saying this is all my opinion. I'm not saying this is factual. You know, but it
yeah,
just, it kind of seems.
Team here.
Yeah, it like how the hell did this end up on Trilla? Like I and then Tyson is having these, you know, legitimate boxing matches on his exhibitions too. Like I'm thinking, is this going to be the blueprint? Let me take some of these young kids and build them and try to help them become bigger. I'll fold them on some of my exhibitions. Because I still got my name. My brand is getting bigger than ever. I just did 1 million pay-per-view buys fighting Roy Jones. I could do probably 2 million fighting friggin' Holyfield. I could fight Shannon Briggs after I fight Holyfield, right?
Yeah.
And the list goes on and on. Antonio Tarver's fighting friggin' Frank Mir. He's fighting Frank Mir. So this is gonna be. This is going to be kind of a blueprint now for some of these elder statesmen guys. They're taking what Floyd did, and they're actually bringing it to another level, because at least they're fighting guys that are on the same level, and they're fighting in better matchups than Floyd. Floyd's fighting in these circus matchups where these guys like Jones and Tyson, they're close in age, close in skill set at this point. Holyfield and Tyson. Tyson and Briggs. I mean, you could go on and on with these things, man. Right? You could take Franz Bothler and throw them in there with somebody, right? I mean, this could be great. Go ahead, man.
No, I was just going to say, look, it was clear in the build-up to that fight with Jones that Tyson was involved in the business side of the deal and that Jones was not. Tyson and his people clearly had a relationship with Triller and the people behind that app, and they obviously have a good relationship. So I do not see it at all being behind the realms of possibility that Tyson was involved. Maybe it was a phone call, maybe it was making an introduction. But the fact that he just made money on $1 million plus by pay-per-view with Triller, had Teofimo on his show, and the next thing you know, Triller is coming in and putting such a heavy bid on this fight. I mean, it's, that's a lot of coincidence.
Maestro, I'm gonna drop another bomb. Think about this. Tyson's doing Triller a big favor, because Triller's basically a social media app. That's what they are.
Yeah.
So Tyson's doing him a big favor by putting his exhibitions on there. Say this is a standalone. Tyson could have put in a word, and as a favor, they're doing that. And then you say, Beeb, well, that's so stupid. Why would they do that and lose money? Are they really losing money? How much do they make on the Tyson Jones fight? How much would they make on a Tyson Holyfield fight? How much would they make on a Tyson Briggs fight down the road? So maybe this is a
fact.
Even if this is a standalone, they're looking at their, what they can make collectively with all these exhibitions from Tyson, and this could just be a wash for them. Right? Maybe Tyson put a bug in their ear, and even if this isn't on an undercard and it is a standalone, this could be a favor. This could be a call in favor from Tyson. Right? That's always could also be a possibility as well. Right? I mean, we're going deep down into the rabbit hole with these conspiracy theories, and I know I'm sounding like I was in the room, but I really wasn't in the room.
Sound like Alex Jones here. You do, you know.
Well, Alex Jones, I'm getting worse than Georgie. I'm getting worse than Georgie.
Anyway, guys, thanks for taking my call. It was a pleasure to see you guys live right at the end of a school day, and always appreciate what you guys do. Take care.
Thank you so much, man. Thanks so much for calling in, man.
We appreciate you calling in too, brother.
Absolutely. I think you have a valid point there. I think Tyson, may have said, but. Again, if we go back to it, listen, is it a coincidence? Yeah. Yeah, I really believe that, because, they didn't know. Again, the purse bid, when they hold the purse bid, nobody knows what the other guy bids, I don't believe. I believe it's all done underneath.
Oh.
And then they reveal it, yes?
Correct.
Because if that was the case, they wouldn't have bid $6 million on this fight.
Here's the thing. Tyson probably, when he was on Hot Boxing with Mike Tyson, right? They had a lot of offline conversation. They were like, you saw the photos of them all lying on the couch, chilling, talking shit. This is all hypothetical, just all B and B right now with the conspiracy.
Sure.
You know, like, so what if Tyson says, hey, man, you know, what's going on with your fight? Who are you fighting next? Yeah, I'm fighting this guy. It's my mandatory, but I'm having problems with this. I'm having problems getting what I want from Todd Grant, blah, 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 blah. You know, Tyson's hearing all this shit. So then he found out it was going to, like, this just didn't, overnight they said this was going to go to purse bits. I think a couple, what was it, a couple, about almost a month, like maybe two or three weeks ago, we found out this was going to purse bits, right?
Yes.
Just maybe Tyson says, hey, you know, he this is going to purse bits, whatever. Maybe, you don't know, you even know if Tyson, like Tyson probably has, like, talks to these guys, maybe, you know, became friends with these guys. Because you know how, like, when Joe Rogan has guys on his podcast and he kind of connects with them after,
sure,
and they
sure
talk or whatever. They could have had an offline conversation, man, and they just shooting the shit. Yeah, man, you know, getting sick of what's going on with Aaron right now. This is going to purse bids, man. I'm rolling the dice. Tyson probably could have picked up the phone and said, hey, man, why don't you throw a bid in for this? He could have called up Trilla, right? I'm just saying.
Let me ask you a question.
I don't know.
Does this fight, because we all agree it could possibly make money, depending on how much Tyson's getting, you know, if say Tyson's headlining the card, say Tyson Holyfield, and you put this on as a co-main, okay, which is what it sounds like they may do, we agree that they could probably make money on this fight. We don't know how much, but, you know, at the end of the day, if you make money, you made money, you know. Let me ask you a question, though. If this headlines, do they make money?
No.
I don't think
but
they do
again,
either.
But again, this could just be this has Mike Tyson written all over it, to be honest with you. I'm just being honest. This could just be a favor. Mike Tyson could have called in a favor.
What do you mean called in a favor? On what, though?
Can you put this guy on? You know? And they, because again, when you look at Floyd's contract, right? Showtime took losses on the Guerrero fight, right? Probably they took losses on the Berto fight.
Sure.
Probably took losses on the Maidana fights. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's just basically a calculated risk, in other words. So they were willing to take those losses. They're willing to give Floyd those guarantees and take those losses for those fights because they knew they would make it up when Floyd fought Canelo. They knew they would make it up when Floyd fought Pacquiao. They were confident. So, in other words, we're just going to put our name out there and just showcase this young kid. We're going to gamble on this young kid. And if we lose, we could still put on our exhibitions with our celebrities and make up the money that way. So we'll take a loss here, but then make the money back somewhere else, in other words. Companies do that all the time.
Yeah, but the thing is, he's not really theirs to gamble with. He doesn't belong to them. He belongs to, like,
belong
another.
To
yeah, you know.
Doesn't belong to them.
Packer Fan 12 in the chat, he said the Triller owner already said he's planning for this to headline its own card. Yeah, I said that at the top of the show, but he also gave another interview saying that, or he also put out another statement saying that he thinks it could be a co-main as well. So that's why we're kind of debating that, kind of going back and forth here.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the phones here. 804, I believe this is Corey. Is that Corey? 804? I don't know. 804, you're
hey.
Live.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? How y'all doing today?
What's
How's
up,
everybody
what's
doing
up?
Today?
Good, man. Good.
I heard you predicted this was going to be on Trilla.
I heard he predicted that 10th round knockout the other day.
Come on, man.
That's what I heard. I heard you predicted that Burchell knockout the other day.
Nah. It's been a while. We gotta give you a little stick. It's been a while. It's been a while. We gotta give you a little stick.
Nah, I ain't predict that, y'all. I can't take that one in, man. But yeah, man, a lot's been going on in boxing, man. I hope y'all have been listening to y'all podcast at work, so I haven't missed any of them. And, I mean, y'all be talking call of the year, man, but shit, my call's pretty good, too, though, so it's all good, though. But, yeah, man, this Teofimo Lopez fight, man, he ain't even fighting a premier, top-level fighter, you know what I mean, like a world championship-level fighter, but we don't know what Kambosa can do until he gets in there with a world champion fighter. I've been knowing about Kambosa since he's been in the camps with Manny Pacquiao, He's got some very good sparring with other fighters, which a lot of people are counting out Kambosa, you know what I mean, just from the rip. And it's like, damn, you know what I mean? You know, we've seen upset after upset this year. You know what I mean? Look at Valdez going up weight and beating Burchelt. You know what I mean? It can be done. Kambosa is. I mean, what if Teofimo loses, dude? Nobody's even talking about that. They're just talking about this whole Triller deal. You know what I mean? We've seen bigger upsets than that. You know what I mean?
Not happening.
And
that ain't happening, son.
Come on, man.
That ain't happening.
If Teofimo loses, I'll come on this show with an Oscar De La Hoya outfit on with the friggin' fishnets and all, man, if Teofimo Lopez loses.
Yo,
there it is.
Chill.
Right there, you heard
it.
Beeb's got – you got the outfit already?
I'll pick it up, man.
You got to pick it up, huh? You don't have it already, huh?
Don't have it.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, man. So, I mean, Teofimo.
I'll put this hand on a stack of Bibles. I'll take a polygraph. I don't have it.
You wear that outfit all the time anyway, Beeb. Is that really a thing, you know?
No, yeah. Don't do me like that. Come on.
Damn, man. That's even below your standard. It's crazy that Triller's doing this though, man. Like, it's like, wow, man. Like, you know, you would think like $6 million for Kambosa versus, you know, this ain't even Devin Haney versus Teofimo Lopez. I mean, that would have been approved for the $6 million, you guys. I mean,
$6 million, yeah. You know what it indicates to me? That they don't know what they're doing. That's really what this indicates to me, that they don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, like, man.
Because to outbid them almost by twice as much.
Eric yeah. hates this move, man. He hates it.
Yeah.
I love this move.
No.
I fucking love it.
Eric, how much you
– I love
Eric,
seeing the fighters get
fight
over like this.
What's that?
How much you think this fight was supposed to be, Eric? Be honest. Like, what you thinking? Like, $2 million, $1 million, maybe?
At least $10 million.
At least $10 million. You mean as far as the purse bids? What should have been a purse bid on it?
Yeah,
this,
like what,
this fight should be nowhere.
Revenue,
be on ESPN.
Which,
it should
I mean,
be on ESPN.
Yeah.
What do they deserve?
Like,
I think you know what. I'll tell you what. I think the Matchroom one was fair. The 3.5. I thought that was fair. I really thought
that's a good bid.
That seems along the right lines.
It seemed the most realistic.
So,
to be honest.
Yeah.
Like, If you were to tell me that someone was going to bid $6 million for this fight, I would have told you were crazy.
Right.
I'm sorry, Corey. Let me interrupt you. Go ahead.
What did Top Rank bid?
They bid $1.2 million for this fight, and they wonder why it went to purse bid. That's way disrespectful.
Corey,
yeah.
They don't give
with the 3.5.
I feel like Teofimo should leave Top Rank. That's my personal opinion, man.
He can.
He's under contract.
He ain't going nowhere.
He's got 3.5 years left. I don't know. I don't think he's got enough money in the bank to buy himself.
No.
There's no way he can buy himself.
No way. He would have got $1.9 million, almost $2 million, with the Matchroom contract.
Let's
start a GoFundMe for Teofimo Lopez to buy himself out of his contract. I'm gonna do a GoFundMe so Teofimo can buy himself out of the contract.
Yeah, he's not going to be with a Tim Cup anytime soon on the corner, I'll tell you that.
Hey, look, let me ask y'all this, though. Do you think that I personally think that Teofimo Lopez should, you know, strategically try to get out of this contract, you know what I mean? Because he says he still has 6 fights left. Oh, man. That could be forever, man. I mean, they're saying Terrence Crawford doesn't have that many fights left either. So, I mean, those two and Tyson Fury, Terrence Crawford, and Teofimo Lopez are Top Rank's 3 biggest stars. I don't think any 3 of them guys are happy, you know what I mean, with Top Rank right now. You know what I mean? Could Top Rank – I mean, first of all, let me tell y'all this. How much longer – Bob Arum is not going to live that much longer. That's number one. You know what I mean? He's already in his 90s, I think, so – you know what I mean? What does Top Rank do without this guy? You know what I mean? Because do y'all think that – let me ask y'all this. Do y'all think Top Rank is holding – do y'all think Bob Arum is holding Top Rank back as a company? Because, I mean, I just feel like some
no.
of these – you know, like, who's bidding on that like that? You know what I mean? Like, You understand?
No, I mean, he's, you know, it's just like anything else. He's gonna bid the least to, you know, he wants the biggest piece of the pie, you know, and that's what he's doing. Now, is he a harm to, you know, Top Rank? You know, I don't think so. I mean, they're still in business. They've been in business since, you know, for years, you know. So I don't think he's harming Top Rank, but he's harming these fighters.
It says here that Eddie Hearn bid 3.5, Top Rank bid 2.3. I stand corrected. And then it also says in this article that Roy Jones and Tyson sold 1.9 million pay-per-view buys.
So that's 2 million. There's your 2 million, babe.
So,
What did Canelo and Mayweather do?
I don't remember.
I think.
But I'm just saying, 1.9 is very good.
I don't remember.
What did Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury do?
95 million, Beeb. 95 million. If they did 1.9 million buys of pay per view, is $50. That's 1.9. Yeah. Or 95 million. So,
damn.
Yeah.
No,
so
950 million, isn't it?
95 million.
95 million?
Yeah.
All right.
So, you know, I tell you, they could, you know, if you're.
Yeah, 95 million.
6 million, yeah, you could carve out a piece of that, I think, you know. But, you know, the other question is, will this pay-per-view do the same? Like, if it's not going to do those Tyson numbers, it's just not.
I'm going to say this.
Mm-hmm.
I have faith in this Trilla app. I think if it's a standalone,
yeah,
I think it has the potential to do 500,000 pay-per-view buys.
Depends on who.
Because
man, I don't know.
Because of the
Damn.
Number one, because of the price point. Number two, because of I'm having kids come up to me now, like at gyms, like young kids come up to me. Like, I was at the gym the other day. I had a Teofimo Lopez shirt on. This kid that worked at the gym could be more than 21 years old. 21 tops. Look, probably 19 or 20. I said, hey, you watch boxing? I said, yeah. Why? You watch boxing? Like that, like in surprise. He goes, oh yeah. I saw Teofimo Lopez versus Lomachenko. Yeah. I watch boxing all the time, man. Yeah. I saw that Valdez versus the Valdez fight there. Versus Rochelle. Yeah. And I think because of social media, Ryan Garcia, I think these guys are doing a good job promoting themselves on social media. I think they're starting to reach out to the young kids. And because Thrill is like kind of like a social media app, I think they can push a guy like Teofimo Lopez, who kind of has that personality. He's got that persona that young people can
young
relate
people
to.
People like him, yeah.
Yeah, and I think they could do well with this guy. I know it's only one fight. I know it's not like they're building him or anything like that. But I just think this kid's got a great story that they could sell. I'm being honest.
But the problem is they can't sell it because it's not his. You know what I mean? It's not theirs. Again,
no. But I'm saying for this one event, I think they could sell him.
You're saying
one
for one off.
For one event, yeah.
You're saying like for one off.
Yeah, for one. I mean, that's all it can be legally, right? It can only be a one-off.
But if this is only a one-off, why would they? I just don't understand. Why would they spend $6 million on a one-off? You're never gonna get him again. You know what I mean? Not the Ryan fight, not
doing.
The Devin fight. We're doing all of this promotion for Teofimo Lopez just to give him back to Top Rank. I mean,
right? And he'll go back to Top Rank a bigger star than he came in.
Well, let me tell you
so
this.
That's really going to help out
let
Wilder
ask,
more. What do y'all think? I think it would help out
yeah,
Wilder.
It's a horrible move. That's why I think it's a bad move for Triller. I really do.
Well, let me ask you this. If Triller likes how the pay-per-view goes and they're happy with it, would they buy him out of his contract?
That's a possibility. Now, they have the money to buy him out of the contract. But they're not really in – are they – in the boxing business, per se.
Because
if they buy out his contract, they are now in the boxing business.
But again, if they are in the boxing exhibition business.
Let me finish real quick.
If they're in the boxing exhibition business, like they say they are, with Tyson, and they're going to decide that we're going to have these cards, and maybe they'll stop signing fighters and throwing them on the undercards, maybe that's the long-term plan. That we can, like, just how they had Badu Jack on the Tyson Jones undercard, Maybe Teofimo Lopez could be on the undercards, and then once he gets exposure, then they can start headlining him.
If Triller bought out, you know what? That would be the worst move, I believe, for Teofimo if Triller bought him out.
Yeah.
Because then who would he fight?
He could fight Haney. Or he could fight.
Could he though?
Well,
everybody's on the other side of the street.
Lopez fight is big enough yet.
Eric, he's a champion. He's got to defend his title.
Yeah, no, I agree.
So, I mean, if he moves up to 140, he's going to get ranked. You know what I mean? Like, he's going to be a name. He's going to be a name fighter. It's not. It's not going to make sense for people to not want to fight him.
Let me say this though. Let me say this. I personally think that this is Mike Tyson's deal. I think from the interview he had with Teofimo Lopez, and you know,
you're repeating everything I just said. I said all this stuff.
Just predicted this.
Steve, I did the copyright. My bad. I copyrighted your shit.
Don't make me have to sue you again. I went and I watched Teddy your videos, and you plagiarized me about 70 times, man. Don't be like Ringside Robbie, like freaking taking my shit, man. Don't be taking my shit.
No, but I just think that Bob Arum, man, I really think that Bob Arum, you know what I mean? Scratch Bob Arum. I think Mike Tyson, I think he believes in Teofimo Lopez, like, as a fighter, man. You know what I mean? I didn't hear what you said before, but because I was on hold for a little while, and then that's when I started listening. So
You heard it.
You totally heard it. I'm going to be honest, man. I just think that out of all the young champions, I think Mike Tyson has zoomed in on Teofimo Lopez. Teofimo Lopez doesn't party. Teofimo Lopez doesn't drink. He's not with all the shenanigans like from some of the other fighters from what I'm hearing, you know. And I went to Teofimo Lopez's fight. I was media credentialed for the Yokohama fight or whatever, the one he was at with the MGM Grand. You know, I seen him when he had a lackluster performance.
Nakatani.
Yeah, I was at that fight, yeah. So, I mean, I'm just saying I was on press row. So, it's like I seen first row, you know what I mean, RIP to Dedicev, you know, he passed away in that fight as well. So, I mean, you know, I was there, you know what I mean? So, I seen him front row. I mean, I think Teofimo Lopez definitely has the goods, and he's grown a lot since then. But that's a huge leap from, you know, selling out 2,500 to, you know, his purse for the Yokohama fight or whatever the Asian guy's name was. That purse for that fight, that was only a couple fights ago. That was only like two or three fights ago. You know what I mean? Like, he fought Richard Comey right after that. And then he fought Lomachenko. You know what I mean? And then it's like now he's fighting, you know what I mean? So it's like, I mean, in this boxing business, man, I'm going to be honest, man, these fighters have a lot of leverage, man. I mean, a lot of new companies are coming in right now, man. And I really think that boxing is changing right now, man. I really do, man. I mean, I think we're starting to look at, you know what I mean, what could possibly be, you know, the new thing. I mean, what if Al Heyman's purse bid gets snatched by Triller? This is like, what? Like, this is, I didn't think I was going to see this, you know what I mean? I mean, I've heard is going pretty high, but this is like, wow. I mean, do y'all think Triller's going to go through with it? Do you think this is a pump fake? Are they obligated to go through with the $6 million after they bid and seeing what the other people bid? Or,
well, sure, yeah, they bid on the fight. Yeah, they bid on the fight. They've got to go through with it. Yeah,
you have to put the money up.
Sure. Yeah, they've already bid on the fight. So yeah,
Ludabella is getting $500,000. Ludabella is getting $500,000 from Camposa. He's making
$21,000.
Fucking guys are raping these guys, bro.
Yeah, right. All right, Corey, we're gonna get running, man. We appreciate it, man. Thank you so much. Check out Corey on Corey Lee Boxing on YouTube, where he makes his picks after the fight. 612 Minneapolis beep. 612.
Fucking Ludabella is getting 24%. Ludabella.
Is he really?
Jesus Christ.
24%.
24% bro. Jesus Christ.
My God.
Are you fucking kidding me, man?
Is that 24?
Wow.
Is that 24% that goes into his pocket or to the company?
Yeah, it says Camboza will make $2.1 million minus the approximately $500,000 that he owes Lou DiBella. Jesus.
Wow.
Yo.
Wow.
Hello?
Go ahead, man. I hear you, bro. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm just saying, is that 24% that goes into his pocket or?
No, that's it. That's Lou DiBella. I mean, that's his company. Yeah. I'm sure he's got to pay his employees and shit, but that's going to go into his bank account, whatever.
I see. Yeah. No, I was just I was hoping if you guys could take some time out to explain what purse bids are. I don't know what purse bids are. I don't understand the concept. So these guys, they negotiate and they don't come to an agreement, and then they do this whole thing called a purse bid, which is what.
So once a mandatory is ordered, and a fighter can't agree to terms with his promoter, he's not accepting his promoter's terms, then what the sanctioning body orders it to go to purse bids, and then other promoters can bid on it. And when they bid on it, the champion gets 75%.
65-35 in the event of the IBF. It was
65-35. Oh, 65-35? Yeah, okay.
Because typically I thought it was like 75-25.
I thought it was 75-25 too, yeah.
Yeah, and I think maybe in, like, say, WBC or WBA it is, but in the IBF it's 65-35. And these don't happen that often, typically because you end up with this scenario, because the promoter wants to retain it because he makes the money off it and everything like that. So that's why you don't usually see them go to purse bids like this on mandatories.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, especially a mandatory like this with Kambosos, who's not a world-class name, put it that way. He's not a household name. So this was for them to get $6 million on this fight is nothing short of odd.
I see.
This is bizarre.
Well, yeah, thanks, guys.
Yeah, very bizarre.
I was just saying, thanks, guys. Great show. Just yeah.
Oh, absolutely, man. Thank you so much, man. We appreciate your call. Thank you very much. Minnesota, man. So, yeah, but that's basically the way of the purse bid, you know. And if you didn't join us at the top of the show, I'll go over the purse bids again. The the bids were for the Teofimo Lopez-George Kambosos fight. Top rank bid $2.3 million, matchroom bid $3.5 million, and Triller bid $6 million. And you may ask yourself, hey, why did Triller bid $6 million versus, you know, why couldn't they just bid $3.6 million, you know, and just beat matchroom? Well, they do this under, you know, basically it's kind of like a blind bid. You know, you put down the amount that you're willing to pay for the fight, and then at the end of it all gets read. So you don't know what the other guy is bidding. So that's why the big discrepancy there. And I think that's what, you know, for me, when I look at that, you know, because I said Eddie Hearns, to me, was right on. The 3.5 with Matchroom, and then you had the 2.3 with Top Rank, which isn't bad either. For this fight, I don't think it's bad. I think Bob actually got it. You know, this is kind of what the fight is worth to promote. The 3.5 is still good, you know, because you're getting Teofimo, you know. $6 million is just like, it just reeks of someone who doesn't know what they're doing. You know, it's a classic, like, overbid, you know. Now, listen, man, they know, you know, listen, I mean, they'll, you know, either they're going to walk away heroes or kings, you know, kings or fools here, you know. I mean, they really are. There's no two ways about it. There's no middle ground here.
I don't know what their motive is here, but we'll find out soon enough.
But it is an odd thing, $6 million for this fight, no?
Yeah, it's odd.
I mean, this is not a.
Listen,
you know,
when everyone heard the news, everyone was like, "What?" Like, no one was like, "Oh yeah, that's about right." Like, no one.
No. We were all like, you know? "What? You did what?"
Yeah. So I'm not gonna act like I wasn't surprised when I heard the number. No, I was very surprised.
I was shocked when they said Triller. And then so Triller's gotta go out. No, from a business standpoint, okay. Triller's gotta go out, promote this fight. All right, because they're the promoters now. They gotta promote this fight. They gotta put people on the card and everything like that. They gotta do all of the work, okay? And again, they've got to do a lot of work because it's gonna be on pay per view number one, and then number two, they're paying $6 million to these fighters. So they got to go out there and do all the work. And then after they promote Teofimo to the moon and back, they got to get him back to Top Rank. They'll never see him again.
But here's the thing. They have such a large social media presence. They already have the audience. So Teofimo Lopez is going to be put in front of an audience that he normally wouldn't be put in front of if he was just on ESPN.
Correct.
He's going to be put in front of a younger demographic. This is a win-win. So they could sit there and say, eventually, based off of this event, do we want to bring this kid back, right? Do we want to buy out his contract?
KD Doctor 7989, thank you so much. We appreciate it. His question is, wildcard thought, how about Dana White hits up Teofimo Lopez and gives him money to buy his contract out and make a splash Zuffa boxing and stick it to Bob? Listen, I don't know that that's that far off. I'll be honest with you. I don't know that that's that far off. I read something the other day, and I don't know if it was from Michael Benson or one of those. I don't know who it was. But they said that last year, before the COVID really started ramping up and canceling things and everything like that, Zuffa was in talks, or I guess the WME or whatever the company that owns the UFC now was in talks to buy the PBC. Whether it's true or not, it's what I read. Okay, and like I said, I read it from a credible source. Sounds legit. Dana White was crowing about something last year about making a big splash in boxing and going on about how they got huge news and this and that, and it just
I heard Fox wasn't going to renew their contract with PBC too as well. That's another rumor I heard.
Mm-hmm.
If it did
or does go down that company buys out PBC, you know, Dana White's already juiced in, and their company's already juiced in with who? ESPN. Where does that leave Top Rank? Out the door, you know, because they're going to have way too much money wrapped up in that stuff.
Well, Bob's been talking about selling for a long time anyways. So,
which is surprising to me. I mean, why not? I mean, you got Todd DeBuff there. I mean, that's like his main guy, you know. Why? I don't know.
Yeah. Who knows? Who knows what the plan is, bro?
Yeah, I don't think they know what the plan is, you know.
Yeah.
But, I think it was Corey that talked about maybe time has kind of passed them by. And, you know, listen, they've been in business for a long time. I get it. But I think he was right on with this fight. I think the amount he bid on this fight was probably right on par with what should have been, you know, what should have been bid. 3.5, definitely better. No question. It's a better bid. And you know, you're not going to lose. I don't think you're going to lose money at 3.5.
Yeah.
$6 million. And this, you know, and the other thing is we got to consider this too. This is all in the infancy stage. We know the fight is going to happen. We know the fight's going to happen in May. What do we put around this card? Now what do we do?
We have no venue. We have no location.
Yeah. And it really, you know, due to COVID and everything like that, the venue really doesn't matter. It really doesn't, no? I mean, that venue doesn't matter.
No.
Because they've been fighting in the bubble for the last, you know, year or so. You know? So the venue really doesn't matter. I mean, obviously it's better with people, but I don't think Tyson and Jones had any people, did they?
I don't believe so.
I don't believe they did, yeah. So,
no.
You know. So I think going forward, I think it's going to be interesting to see, like, where, you know, what they do with this card to make it worth that $6 million that they spent. I think that's where, you know, because I think that's what everybody was just like, $6 million, what? You bid on this fight? You know, and is Teofimo worth it? Yeah, he's worth it. However, is he worth it for you? Because you got to give him right back. I think that's my thing. That's where I come at it. And you're going to give him back possibly a bigger star than what he came in.
Well, I mean, anytime
it's not a good business move.
Anytime a purse bid occurs and the guy's, you know, the fighter's original promoter doesn't get the fight, he's got to get given back. But more often than not, when there is a purse bid, usually the fighter's promoter does kind
of
stuff.
One of the two fighter's promoters grabs it. It's usually not like this guy coming out of left field.
This is very rare that it's like an outside, you know, an outside entity grabbing this fight.
Well, you remember when Deontay Wilder and was it Povetkin? I believe it was Povetkin went to purse bid, and I mean they bid like $9 million for that fight. The Russian, one Russian promoter or whatever did.
Ryabinsky, yeah,
yes.
he won the purse bid, yeah.
Yeah, and he bid like a whole slew of money on that guy. And but it's a heavyweight title fight in a packed house in Russia. You know, I mean, they knew something, you know.
And that's what upsets me about a lot of these PPC guys, because they don't have promoters. So they're at the mercy of someone else's promoter making the offers. And then they get to turn around and criticize the offers they're getting. But they don't have any promoters.
No.
So, like, what do you have to leverage yourself with? Like, Deontay Wilder had nothing to leverage himself against Anthony Joshua, because he said he made an offer, but did he really make an offer? Who made that offer? You know, he had people saying that they would put the money up, but he had no proof of funds. Whereas a promoter has money and they put it up and they show show what they have and stuff. So again, this whole PBC model, I think it worked for Mayweather, because Mayweather actually got a promoter's license and started promoting his own fights. So right. It worked for him.
It worked great for him, yeah.
But, you know, it's not working for these other guys because they don't have a promotional company. Like, Sean Porter is sitting there complaining about what Bob Arum is offering him. But no one over at PBC is willing to pay you. Right? So, like, Floyd Mayweather got paid by Showtime because he was a promoter, right? And when he fought Pacquiao, Showtime paid him directly. Bob Arum paid Pacquiao directly. So these guys over at PBC, they have to take what the other guy's promoter offers them. That seems to be the situation that they're all in. So who's going to pay you, Sean Porter? Who's going to, like, where are you going to get $2 million?
You know,
who can you fight right now and get paid $2 million?
Nobody.
Against
nobody. I mean, really, realistically, who can he do? Honestly, nobody.
I think he got $2 million when he fought Spence. So you're fighting a guy who's on Spence's level,
and somehow
much.
You've increased. You know what I'm saying? As far as your profitability, you've increased that.
You lost to Spence. You lost to Thurman. You came back and you fought. Two nondescript opponents, I think, after you lost to Spence, and that you think you've increased your value based off of that?
Right. You know, I mean, that's the thing, man. So I don't know, man. He said Porter made almost $8 million to Spence. He had a heck of a back end on the pay-per-view. He had, a pay-per-view back end. Yeah, I don't know that. I don't know that he almost made $8 million.
So he got $6 million on back end money. I don't know about that.
Yeah, I don't know about that either. How much did Errol Spence get on back end money then?
Yeah, I don't know.
All right. Yeah.
I'm not going to go down that road.
Yeah.
But again, Porter and Crawford could be on pay per view too. I mean, they're giving him.
Yeah.
They're giving him the $2 million is a guarantee, which was the same guarantee he got versus Spence. So why don't they put Porter? They can put Porter and Crawford on ESPN pay-per-view. ESPN.
Yeah, it's happened. I mean, like I said, what's to stop Bob Arum from or PBC from saying, you know what, I'm gonna put up X amount of dollars for this fight. We want this fight to happen. Here's the deal. Boom, we'll promote it.
Well, here's the thing. PBC has their own. They have like that guy Tom Brown they work with. They used to have the
TGB.
They got TGB. I think he's like their house promoter.
They don't have any promoters over there though.
Yeah, they don't have DeBeller anymore. They got rid of some other. I think they had other guys that they got rid of.
Yeah.
So.
All right, let's go to the back to the phones here. I believe this is D-Style 915. This is from El Paso. 915.
Oh,
you're live.
It's Mr. Pie Face in the building. How's it going, guys?
What's happening,
man? Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
It's again.
All right, cool. Hey, man, I just want to kind of first say, before I say what I'm going to say, I want to make it very clear. I'm happy for any fighter that gets the bag and gets their money. I would never advise them not to do it. So I'm happy for Teofimo Lopez. I'm happy for Kambosos, who also hit the lottery. I mean, he just kind of found his lap. He's going to make $2 million or something. So shout out to both guys.
I'm bracing myself for the butt. I'm bracing myself right now for the
and
butt.
Here's the
go ahead.
But here's the butt. I understand why Aram is mad. Now, people are saying, I don't get it. Why is he mad? Because Triller's coming in, and they're inflating the market. That's why.
Yeah.
Right? So here's
you know
the deal,
what?
Guys.
That's an excellent
this event
point.
Doesn't make money.
That's an excellent point.
We're not going to know if
but
they made money or not, right?
Yeah, but you know what, though? He said that he wasn't mad at Triller. He was mad at Eddie Hearn. Because Eddie Hearn didn't have either one of these fighters. And he was mad at Triller for not. He said he wasn't even mad at Triller. He was complimenting Triller, you know?
Yeah. He's mad at Eddie because Top Rank did them the favor for the Canelo fight.
I get it. I mean, I get it. I know. I don't agree with it, but I get it. You know what I mean?
I see. I don't think one thing relates to the other, though, to be perfectly honest with you, in my opinion. But go ahead, man.
Well, what I'm trying to say is the reason Aram is definitely not happy at the situation and not happy with Teofimo at this time, okay? He cannot be happy at the situation because whenever it works like this in any job, why wouldn't it work like this in boxing, right? This is why a lot of guys were turning out Canelo fights for a while. You pay Kovalev $12 million, supposedly, according to reports, why am I going to accept $4 million, right? So, yeah. This is the issue. So now, you think Teofimo's ever going to want to fight for anything less than $4 million? Like, even if this season failed or just breaks even, and let's be honest, people don't do all this to break even. Like, they do it to make profits. I think Triller wants to make at least, 35% profit or something. You know, they're not just doing this for charity. You know, so they're not just doing it to break even. So I don't know if it's going to make money or not. I don't know. I hope it does, because if it does, then that means that there's enough demand that justifies this type of pay. You know what I mean? But for now, I don't know. We could have situations where – I just want a situation where Teofimo's on the shelf for a couple of years like Mikey Garcia was. You know what I mean? I don't want a situation where fighters are sitting on the shelf waiting for the big payday saying, hey, well, I can get an offer over here. I'm going to try and take this to purse bid. It could create a very it could backfire. It could create unintended consequences for the future. And I don't think Aaron wants to deal with that. I mean, look, people praise Dana White all the time. Oh, Dana, he makes all the fights happen. And Dana doesn't have to put up with all this shit. He doesn't have to put up with purse bids, threats, or other promoters offering this and that, and other sides of the street. And he is the street. You know what I mean? Like what the guy is signed to fight for, that's what they make, and that's it. That's why it's easier to make fights for the UFC. You know what I mean? So Aram, it's already difficult making fights, and now it's going to make it worse. It's my opinion.
But this is what I hate about this whole thing about the overpricing, the overpaid. Because when you think about it, when it's all said and done, everyone's looking at that 3.9 he's getting. You know how much he's probably taking home? Probably going to take home like $1.2 million of that once everyone gets their cut.
Yeah, what do we say it was about 40%? I guess about 40% of that.
40% the IRS is going to get. Okay, then depending on the state, he's going to have to pay state taxes on that. He'll be lucky if he can walk away with $1.1 million at the end of the day. So I thought that's why I want these guys to get everything they can get, because again, people look at that figure and they don't realize. And then he's giving Bob Arum 20%.
That blows my mind. That just blows my mind.
And then Bob Arum's getting $800,000 for sitting on his hands and doing shit.
Can't beat that, man. Well, I tell you what. I mean, was it a bad deal for Arum? And now somebody else is going to go promote this guy to the moon? I mean, does Bob Arum really not know what he's doing?
Well, here's the thing. He's going to come back, and he's never going to make this again.
No.
Unless he's fighting on pay-per-view when he's – you know, he's got a Pacquiao-level type fight. So it is what it is.
Right.
But if he could get this, I'm not going to complain, because when it's all said and done, man, once everyone takes their cut and Uncle Sam and all that, what do these guys really make at the end of the day?
About 1.5, I think. If you take his salary minus 40%.
I already did the math, because you take the $800,000 that he's got to give Bob. And then you take the 40% in taxes.
I don't think he's going to get taxed 40%, though, is he?
Yeah, those they get taxed crazy, bro. They get taxed 40% on that, bro.
Jeez.
So all you got to do is take that 3.9, take that 3.9 million and just subtract 60% off the top. And that's what he's fucking get, you know. And then I didn't even how much is he paying his father to train him? That's another 10%, right? Probably gonna make like $1.1 million at the end of the day. Fucking horrible.
Not horrible. Yeah, I would take that too. I mean, you know, I'm not crying for him. You know, I mean.
But let me ask you this: like, you and I go to work every day. We get paid. No one. We get more than 60% of our pay. I mean, we're not getting 60%. You know, people are probably, when it's all said and done, maybe 25% of my pay goes to everything else. I'm at least taking home 75% of my pay. These guys are taking home like friggin' 35% of their pay. So that's why they negotiate so hard like they do.
Look, at the end of the day, I support the fighters getting their money. I'm not saying otherwise. You know what I mean? Hey, get your money. I don't know if the 1.5 is accurate. I mean, I understand you say you're doing the math, B, but I think you're subtracting a little too much. But I get it. I think it's taking at least half.
Listen, when you make that amount of money, Uncle Sam takes 40%, bro. They take 40%. They crush you. Some of these guys that are millionaires, they get taxed at like 40%, bro. I'm telling you.
I definitely hear what you're saying. I mean, I get it. Like, I really do. That's why I support the fighters getting their money. Get your money. You know what I mean? But we also have to understand the following, babe. If let's say he's the headliner, and this even flops, and Thriller says, "Yeah, it's not even worth, you know, getting paying these guys this much. We really don't want to continue doing this anymore." Well, that's not good for the boxing market. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we also need to make sure that the people in the boxing business can still afford to be part of the boxing business. You know, if it becomes a point where they can't afford it no more, it could be a problem.
Here's a problem, though, and I keep trying to go over this with everybody. Everyone gets hung up on one event. Okay, when you look at what Triller did with Tyson versus Jones, 1.9 million pay-per-view buys, okay? So they're already in the black with that one. So even if they do lose money on this one, they're still going to be in the black. Same thing with Bob Arum. He gets mad at Crawford, but he still has Tyson Fury. If Tyson Fury fights AJ, that's a can't-miss fight. Like, Bob Arum is not cutting coupons, bro. He wouldn't be in this business as long as he's been in it if he was losing money. You can't make money on every event. It's impossible. Some events are just going to lose, like anything else. Like at a store, each product is going to have a different profit margin on it. So when Apple sells their phones, they make more money on their freaking laptops than they do on their phones.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. They don't really make that big of a.
That's a phenomenal point, which is why Arum didn't put $6 million for the fight.
Well,
I think you had to be stupid to put $6 million on this fight. I got to be honest, man. I mean, that was way overbid, in my opinion.
Supposedly, he's paying Crawford $3 million a fight. That's supposedly Crawford's that's his minimum $3 million.
Yeah.
And he says he regrets doing that. He says he's losing money on that. So I don't know. But how much money did he make on that Pacquiao fight? How much money did he put in his pocket for that Pacquiao fight?
Like before I go, I mean obviously I do agree that Arum shouldn't be saying these things out loud and to reporters. Especially not recorded videos where you don't even have plausible deniability for what you say. But he's got no filter, and I think maybe that's how it is when you're 80 years old. Like, you could say whatever the hell you want, like, you know. So it is what it is. But hey, thanks for taking my call, guys.
Thank you, sir. We appreciate it, man. Thank you very much.
I'm not worried about Triller. They just made $95 million. They just had an event that grossed $95 million. Well, probably more than $95 million. Probably over $100 million. $120 million.
706. Biba, you got to stop.
I'm not worried about
numbers, bro. These numbers are like, not verified at all. 1.9 million. Nobody's ever verified those pay-per-view numbers. And I was reading into the Ryan Kavanaugh's business history. He's known in the business for making up numbers. Like, that's what he's known for. So you might want to Google Ryan Kavanaugh and Google what he's known for. Like, he's been busted by his own employees for lying about subscriber numbers, all that shit. So all that shit is, like, kind of, you know, murky. It's not really 1.9 million just because Coppinger reported that. It's true. It's really not been authenticated. We got to be careful with that.
Well, I read that, too. I read that they talked about a number of subscribers on Triller, and he had it – they couldn't verify the number of subscribers. They couldn't
His
verify
own employees said he lies about
that.
That. And all social media companies lie about their numbers. You know what I'm just saying? Also, I was going to say –
Yeah.
If you're fucking, let me just get it off my chest, and you guys can respond. Let me just get off like 3 minutes, okay? If anybody out there is worried about Bob Arum's money or Triller's money, you're like a fucking simp. Why are you worried about some promoter that's worth $300 million? His money. You need to get your brain.
I'm not worried about it.
Not worried about it.
I'm not worried about it.
I'm talking about.
I'm worried about
Tiafimo's. Let me just finish.
I'm worried about Tiafimo's money.
Can I just finish?
I'm sorry.
No, not fuck. No, let me just finish. All these people are like, oh, we shouldn't be oversaturating the market. Bob Arum paid Amir Khan $5 million, and ESPN kicked their ass off pay-per-view. Okay? They kicked their ass off pay-per-view after one pay-per-view. It was such a disaster. They oversaturated the market. That's why Porter said, why would I take $2 million when I'm making like almost $6, $7 million with spends, and you're going to do a pay-per-view? You should at least offer me $5 million. That's respectable. Give me $5 million. I'll take it. But you guys, $2 million. Dude, Porter made $1 point something for Feigen Boots on free TV. That's like a record. That's like a public purse. They released that. And you want him to take $2 million for Crawford. They spent $12 million for Fury versus Wallen. And that fight sold like 3,000 tickets. So Bob is not above wasting money. Bob just doesn't want to waste money because he's stubborn. And he's like, no, I'm not going to be proven wrong. So Porter has to come beg me for more money and shit. No, when Bob wants to waste money, he wastes money. He paid Fury like $10 million for the – what's that other fight he did in Vegas? Wallen, what was the other one? Both of them flopped. They did like a $1 million gate. And they paid him like $10 million a person. So Bob's been wasting money too,
I'm not disagreeing with you, Jason, but this is – I'm not disagreeing with you at all. I don't think anything you said was out of line. I don't know what Porter made. I'm not – you could be right. You could be wrong. I can't say you're wrong because I can't prove that you're wrong. But I know he probably got some pay-per-view money. But the thing is this. At this point, where does Porter go right now where he can make $2 million? That's my only question.
Yeah.
That's like his minimum, B. He makes like $2 million regardless of whatever he does on PBC. Guys like Charlo make like $3 million minimum. You don't think he's making $2 million on PBC? Danny, you should Google the Danny Garcia interview about, what's his name? Rob, what was that guy? Fuck. People
Rob
making
Salka,
fun of him.
Rob Salka.
Rob Salka. He said I made $3 million for Rob Salka. You guys want me to take $2 million? He said I made $3 million for Salka, and you morons want me to take $2 million for Crawford? What? Get the fuck out of here. That's on video. It's on Fight Hype. Google that shit.
Yeah, but that's not verified anywhere.
Like that for $2. Huh?
That's not verified anywhere.
What's not verified? You should look at
just
Danny
the fact
Garcia's
that he said it.
A,
just the fact that he said
Danny,
it doesn't make it so.
Dude, you should look at Danny Garcia's business portfolio.
I can tell you,
that
I make
$1 billion.
It doesn't make it so.
What do you mean it doesn't make it so?
What
Danny Garcia's
on
one of the richest fighters in boxing. That dude owns like 20 Dunkin' Donuts. Like, that guy's like fucking balling out there. Where do you think that money came from?
He's got a barbershop, too. He's got a barbershop and Dunkin' Donuts.
He's got a barbershop in Philly.
Barbershop in Philly, baby.
Ellie
Sekmak said he's got 10 Dunkin' Donuts in Miami. Like, that dude,
that's
like
he's right. He's right now. He's Sekmak again. Ellie, I'm here for you,
Ellie.
Danny Garcia does make good moves with his money.
Dude, also, that guy sold 16,000 tickets for the Judah fight. He holds the record at Barclays. Like, these guys have been getting gate money, too.
Yeah.
That's why they like it.
Adrian
Broner
said he made $15 million for his last fight, too.
What?
That's what he said. Adrian Broner, we got it on video. Adrian Broner said he made $13 million for his last fight. There you go.
He made like $8 million for Manny Pacquiao, like $10 million. This whole 400,000 pay-per-view.
He made $13 million for his last fight. That's what he said.
$10 million for Manny. He made $10 million for Manny.
He made $13 million for this fight.
Whatever. Dude, that's irrelevant. But let me just say this. This Teofimo situation shows
it's not
that
irrelevant.
Crawford is a fucking punk-ass
fraud. It's not irrelevant because you're getting your facts from the fighters, and I'm saying they could say anything.
Dude,
that's
Broner is
point.
Broner. What do you can't compare Broner to Danny. Danny's
Garcia's
not so fucking,
Garcia.
Like, goofball. What?
I said Garcia's Garcia.
No, Garcia's not a fucking Broner.
Well, shut up
Broner's
and listen, and you'll hear me.
Whatever. You aren't making any sense there, Lorda. Come on, man. Relax. Jesus Christ.
You're not
come
making
up with the
any sense,
points,
dude.
Man. How are you going to compare Broner joking
with
around fucking
points,
what Danny Garcia
You're over
said.
Here talking about
Jesus
Dunkin'
Christ.
Donuts. You're over here being a moron talking about how many Dunkin' Donuts
on,
Danny
dude.
Garcia owns.
Don't be ridiculous. Come on. Don't be fucking MAGA with your MAGA numbers and shit. Come on. All right, let me put it to the last point, okay? Teofimo, this guy's showing that bum-ass idiot Crawford how to do it. This guy is like 25 years old. He's already becoming his own boss. Crawford is sitting with his fucking thumb up his ass.
23. He's only 23. Oh. 23.
Yeah, 23. So that's even better. And Crawford's dumbass is 30, sitting around waiting for Bob. Oh, Bob, give me another cherry. I don't want to fight Spence. I don't want to fight Porter. I want a 50%. Like, that guy's a fucking fraud.
Actually, Spence doesn't
want to
fight him.
Spence said, I'll give you 40%. Take the fight. Crawford said, no way. So why?
Spence doesn't want to fight him.
Spence said, let's make the fight. Take 40%. Well, who said let's not fight? Who said that? Only person that said, I don't want to fight is Crawford. And the resumes prove it. If you look at their resumes, Porter fought everybody. Spence is fighting everybody, too. Only person that's not fighting anybody is Crawford. So don't fucking root for that fucking bum. Let's
Crawford hasn't fought anybody? Come on.
Who has
son.
He fought? What's his best win?
Crawford.
What's his best win?
Let me ask you.
Are you
going to
suck Horn's balls
now?
Are you going to suck Jeff Horn's balls now, Lorda? Come on.
If Crawford retired today, would he go to the Hall of Fame?
You're not going
to
suck
Jeff
Horn's
balls. He goes to the Hall of Fame, hands down, right? He goes to the
Hall
of Fame.
Hall of Fame. Hall of Fame is literally a fucking hype job. Gaddy's in the Hall of Fame. Oh, my God. What a big deal. Gaddy's in the Hall of Fame. Wow.
Wow.
Punching bags like Gaddy's in there. Who cares? Fucking punching bags are in there. Who cares, dude? All you have to do is know some crooked writers that are on the top-ranked payroll. They'll put you in the fucking Hall of Fame right away. Fucking Tim Bradley. Dude, Tim Bradley said Valdez is Hall of Fame already. Tim Bradley said Valdez is Hall of Fame already. That's how these fucking top-ranked studios talk. You care about that? Who gives a shit? Hall of Fame. Who the fuck cares about Hall of Fame? Who cares visits the Hall of Fame? Like, oh, my
Terrence
God.
Crawford.
Who's going to be hanging on the wall? Who cares?
Jason, here's a big problem for Terrence Crawford. He's going to be 34 this year.
He said he doesn't care. There's no problem, B. He doesn't care. So how is there a problem? He loves this
but
shit.
He's gonna be 30,
he loves these charities.
He's going to be 34 this year. He's not getting any younger, bro. He's not getting any younger.
No.
He's going to be 34 years old this year.
That's why he's stalling this. That's why he says, I don't want to fight Spence. If you don't give me 50%, I'm not fighting. Well, you're not selling pay-per-view. Why are you going to get 50%? You sell like 100,000 pay-per-views. Spence sells 300,000 pay-per-views. You get like 30% if you're being honest here. Spence is selling three times the pay-per-view. Guy just sold like 50,000 tickets in a pandemic, and you want him to give you 50%? Get the fuck out of here. You don't even sell 50,000 tickets when it's not a pandemic, motherfucker. Like, these guys are fucking always lying. Like, Top Rank, all these guys, all they do is lie. And then they say, oh, my God, PBC doesn't want to make the fight. Now Teofimo is exposing all that shit. Todd DeBuff is writing letters behind his back telling DAZN not to fucking bid on the purse bid. That's illegal. That's like anti-trade practice, that shit. He could go to jail for that.
Steve, did you read that? Did you read that he those letters that DeBuff sent to Top Rank
Access
or
Industry.
Not Top Rank, but Matchroom?
No, Access Industry.
Did you read those? Shut up. Did you read those, Beeb?
Yeah.
Did I read the emails?
Yeah.
I don't have the actual emails.
I don't either. I haven't read them yet. Yeah, because I heard they're floating around out there or whatever, and I don't know really what's in them, but I thought they were talking about – I know they were referring to the Josh Taylor fight or whatever, but I don't know that they specifically said – he specifically said, hey, don't bid on this fight.
That's what it said. I read the whole thing.
I don't
thing.
Think he
Go
said
that. I think that's probably, you know
–
I
was shocked to hear that Eddie is going to bid on it, and since I helped you out in the other fight – It would be wise for you not to or something like that. But he didn't explicitly say don't do it, but, you know, not in many words. But this is like mafia tactics, you know, like mafia families calling each other, stay out of my territory, motherfucker, or I'll fucking get your legs broken. That's what it is. Aram mafia family acting like fucking mafiosos. What else is this? That's why boxing is the way
it is. Yeah, I don't know that it's quite like that.
Like Aram fucking crooks run the sport into the ground for the past 30 decades, like three decades, whatever. You know, these Arams are a fucking cancer. We got to throw these Arams out of this fucking sport. Anybody that supports these fucking snakes, anybody that's worried about Arams, you can go fuck with them too. Like, I'm so tired of this fucking family ruining the whole sport. Everybody wants to demonize Don King. Let's demonize these Arams too. Why not? You know? I've heard more fighters talk shit about the Arams every week, and then fucking all the writers just give them a pass. They just laugh it off like it's some charming shit. Oh my God, it's just Bob being Bob. Like Trump being Trump. Fuck all that. That's why Al Heyman created PBC, so fighters could be their own fucking bosses. They could make their own decisions. That's why I supported PBC, you know? Everybody's like, no, PBC is bad for boxing. That guy lets the fighters get the cut of the fucking tickets. He lets them get back in paper, all that shit. You never hear fucking fighters say, oh, this guy's trying to rob me, and Al Heyman come out and say, oh, we shouldn't support him. This fight sucks. Let's let him go somewhere else. Like, this is only Aaron, man. Who else does this? Even Eddie doesn't do this shit. Fans got to boycott Top Rank or nothing's going to change. You know? That's it. You have to boycott these snakes.
I think Bob is getting old now, and I think he's getting tired of the business, and I think he's kind of he seems like he's very burnt out.
Todd is doing the same behind the scenes. They're all connected at the hip. Like, we can't be like Bob is the bad guy, Todd is the good guy. They're the same. You know? They're same.
Yeah, Todd's following in Bob's footsteps. Yeah, I agree with
and
that.
And once Bob leaves, it's going to be hard for them to promote because Todd has no personality. And if you listen to that on the mic, that guy's a fucking bore. Like, Bob's a charming guy. You can listen to him on the fucking mic, make jokes, but Todd is horrible. He can't promote shit. So once Bob is gone, that's when the real trouble's going to start. Who's going to be out there?
Todd's not a people person. Todd's not a people person. He's kind of
like you, Jason. He's not a people person. You know what I mean?
He's behind the scenes all the time.
Love you, Lorda. Calm down. Calm down.
All right, Jason, we're going to get running, man.
All right.
Oh, he was full of vinegar tonight, wasn't he?
Yeah, man. He was passionate tonight.